Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Brent Sanford, the mayor of Watford City.
Hey, Brent Sanford.
Okay, we're talking with the mayor of Watford City, as well as the lieutenant gubernatorial candidate for the upcoming election. But, you know, today, let's talk a little bit about Watford City. How about just an update of how things are going there in the hot zone?
Yes, I can tell you it feels a lot better than it did this winter. It's something where the 4,000 pipeliners for Dakota Access Pipeline are spread from Stanley to Williston back to Watford City, and now we're even seeing press releases down in Linton of running out of stakes, you know. So that's been a nice boost to the economy, and besides the construction activity that is ongoing. And now with oil hovering around $50, we're starting to get some whispers of some drilling activity maybe the end of the year and for sure in the beginning of 17 if prices keep going up, you know. So we're feeling a little more optimism than we had for the last quite a few months. The first quarter of this year was pretty rough, and the sales tax receipts then trickle in April and May, and from that activity and or lack of activity, and it's been a concerning time for the government entities out here, and as well as the individual households and businesses. But yes, it's something where the economy's starting to roll a little bit this summer with the planting and the, you know, with some hope in the egg market too. So better days are to come, we hope.
How about from the business owners and the housing? How is that going? Let's start with maybe, you know, Main Street. Are people selling pizzas and the cafes busy? And then also, what's the housing market look like?
Okay, the Main Street business owner has had quite a reduction in revenues, and it basically comes down to if you're a necessity purchase or a optional purchase and a discretionary purchase. You know, basically, in my business, at a repair facility and car dealership is a little of both, and so car sales are you know have fallen to, you know, back into the pre-boom days, and I equate that to if you're concerned about a potential job loss or downsizing or reduction of commissions or overtime, you can keep that car for a few more months, but you keep buying groceries and you keep repairing your car. So grocery stores probably haven't come off quite as much. That's probably more based on per capita. If there's less people around, you know, less people in the man camps, etc., then their volume's down, you know, say maybe they're at 80% of where they were before, whereas discretionary buy like a car sale or a retail store on Main Street, we're down quite a bit, maybe to 30-40% of what it was, hoping to come back and level off at a higher level than that. My service business is very steady. That's more based on the number of trained mechanics you can have, and we're seeing the white pickups coming back again with more work being done in the oil field and the pipeliners coming back, etc., you know, so that service business stays pretty steady. So overall the lodging, you know, we probably didn't have quite as low of an occupancy percentage as other towns. Our community is not large enough and doesn't have the national chains where you get an official occupancy percentage, but you're seeing 27% type numbers in Minot and Williston, and I would say from talking to individual hotel owners, we were in the 40 or 50%, maybe even less on weekends this winter, where they had been a near 100% for quite a few years, but now the parking lots are quite full again with construction and pipelining season happening. The housing itself, the permanent housing, the apartment rents have gone from $3,000 a month down to the $1,200 to $1,400 range, and some cases you can rent for $1,000 or an older an apartment for under $1,000, so that's something that's been a long time coming. And, you know, from the developer standpoint, it's kind of a scary time because they're not full. They're probably, you know, 70 to 80% full is what I was last hearing. But that was a month ago, too, before we had all the influx of people coming in. And then some of the newer projects were having a harder time filling up, you know. So that should increase with more activity in the drilling side of the business and in the economy and also the construction. The single-family housing market is still a tough one to put a finger on around here. The houses that are $400,000 are starting to move them. The ones that are $200,000 is a little easier, but people are you know, people, when the economy's a little bit shaky in an energy economy like this, people are probably more apt to rent versus buy with rents coming into line. You know, that single-family housing market's still a head-scratcher. It's one that the large employers are worried about, it of where are those developments of $250,000 to $290,000 homes where you can get the FHA financing and first-time homebuyer programs, you know, where are they at? When are they coming? And that's kind of the unanswered question at this point is do the developers have the faith to come and put those housing units in when they might have already come in and put in multifamily and might not be full? You know, so we're still ironically in the situation of their employers asking for more in different types of housing. But the good thing is they're looking for housing and they're still hiring. You know, we've got job openings at the midstream companies and the you know, the operators themselves, the Conocos, the Hesses of the world. I mean, they're still drilling holes. For every new hole, they need X number of people. You know, so it's the long term production jobs are inching upwards, whereas the drilling jobs and the trucking jobs are the ones where we saw the job losses. You know, so we see that side of the sector is also, you know, still challenged, but there's still a need for those positions as well.
To listen to the full length interview with Brent Sanford, the mayor of Watford City, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crow, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Luther Martinez from Production Systems out of Gillette, Wyoming.
Luther Martinez with Production Systems Sales and Service in Gillette, Wyoming.
Gillette, Wyoming. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your company. What is it you guys do?
We build compression for the oil and gas industry. We specialize in our high-tech vapor recovery units.
Do you go outside of the oil and gas industry into coal or any other or agriculture even?
No, but we do like city utilities at a sewage plant. They could use one of our units to capture the gas.
So talk to me a little bit about how your guys' business was during the $100 oil days and then juxtapose that with how it's going today.
It has dropped dramatically. I would say, I don't know what the annual sales of a company are, but I bet they've slowed down by about 50%.
Are you guys maintaining okay? Are you laying off some employees? Are you bringing new capital in? Without getting too much into your financial statements, how is your company handling this?
Well, luckily we had a couple people move on to what they wanted to do differently, and we did have to get rid of some of the staff, two ladies that worked there.
Sorry to hear that, but that seems to be a pretty common answer for a lot of people. How's the conference going? Are you feeling that there's a decent amount of activity here, or is there Is it a waste of time? I guess just talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on the conference.
I wouldn't call it a waste of time, but it's definitely very slow. The size of the conference seems to be about half the size as it was 2 years ago. But on the other hand, I have met a couple very good prospects. I've actually met the vice president of a large oil company, so that was pretty nice.
So there might be some future sales out of this. Well, that's good. Well, talk to me about what it is that you guys can provide for, or you know, give me your sales pitch. You know, let's say we got an oil exec listening to this.
Well, everybody in that position would be familiar with our products anyway, but our biggest sell is we can eliminate the possibility of flaring natural gas. Our units put the gas into the sales line instead of sending it to the flare.
To listen to the full-length interview with Luther Martinez from Production Systems out of Gillette, Wyoming, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies, and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30-plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.